Triple M's Rush Hour with MG. And MG, it is that time of the week where we want to take a, I guess, not a lighter look at sport, but we want to get the opinions and the thoughts of the average man.
The ethnics.
Well, if we want to kind of term sport.
He's trying to be PC.
I was trying to be.
He's dancing around the subject, isn't he? We want to get it from the boys who are from a Lebanese background and
Turkish
background as well. So we've crossed... We cross-pollinate, don't we?
We absolutely do. We welcome back into the studio Rob Shahidi and Tahir, two gentlemen you would have seen on your TV screens. They've been in your lives for years. You've seen them on Fat Pizza. You've seen them on Here Come the Habibs. You've seen them on Howzo's. Basically, as you say, Rob, anything ethnic that's been on your TV, you've been a part of it.
Exactly.
Did you have a spot in, My Big Fat Greek Wedding?
No, because that was in America, I'm not Greek.
Okay.
I know we all look the same, but geez.
Hold on, Liam, your research was so good up to that point.
I know.
And Mr. Mark, look at that moustache of yours.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
Like, I have to say, Rob, as soon as we came in, how do you grow that in 1 week? It's amazing.
I know. I thought Tom Selleck, but without the Ferrari.
No, I was just the Holden.
Oh, you're a Holden man.
Is this for Movember?
Like, yeah, it is. Yeah.
So that's fantastic cause, honestly. Yeah. And there's a lot of ladies in Bankstown also supporting Movember.
Yeah. And,
but they do it all year, MG, not just 1 month, all right?
Raising money constantly.
Now,
you boys have come. You've come in with a list. You like Santa Claus today because you're both coming in with a list. And Tahir, you've got Usain Bolt, Melbourne Cup cricket. And Rob, you've got Wingers and Jared Hayne. I want to start with you, Tahir. And Usain Bolt, get something.
Yes, the Central Coast Mariners, MG. Look, the thing was, he didn't get the contract, but they were close. They offered $100,000 and he wanted $3 million. Not far. So close. Wasn't it working out? I can't believe. Remember he came, he said, oh, I'm not doing it for the money.
Guess what? Yeah. He's doing it for the money.
$100,000. So you want an opportunity? No, I'm out.
You know what I think deep down happened? He went to this. He's thinking Central Coast. It's like Gold Coast, coastal. Yeah. He's gone up there.
He's gone to Gosford.
That's Mount Druitt on the water. Disrespect, MG, but I'm just saying.
I'm from Mount Druitt and I love going to the Central Coast.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, like there's. It's not like.
You're right, Rob. He didn't do his research.
He's thinking hot Australian women walking around, you know.
But well, he did have like a penthouse. I saw where he was living, and it's kind of, you know, like a $3-4 million house that he was living in.
What was he overlooking? Brisbane Waters?
Brisbane Waters.
Great.
It's Avoca Beach. Come on.
Avoca? Oh, yeah, Avoca.
I reckon one of the coaches said he had the touch of a trampoline. So it can't be that bad. The point is, just give him a contract.
I think so.
They came last.
No, but his speed's not utilised in soccer. In rugby league, if you put him through a gap, he's gone.
Yeah,
put him on the wing.
Might not fire.
At least make him the water boy, right? Get the water out fast. The team hydrates quicker.
True.
And, yeah, that could help some way.
Keep him a sprint coach.
I know, something. Like, I mean, I just can't believe that. I mean,
I reckon the sprint coaches earn less than the players do.
Did you make a good point, but you said as soon as there was good timing.
Oh, it was beautiful timing. I stole this from Fox Sports Adam Peacock, who pointed out that the day after he decided to quit the Central Coast Mariners was Derby Day down in Melbourne. And wouldn't you know it, he bobbed up at Derby Day down in Melbourne.
Have you ever been to the Melbourne Cup? Have you been there?
I've never been to the Melbourne Cup. Have you, Rob?
No, I haven't.
You've never? Really?
No, it doesn't.
Appeal.
We're usually working.
Well, heads like ours don't get in the birdcage.
Well, I went in the birdcage last year. And,
did you?
Yeah, hasn't been invited back.
I've never seen one horse.
I'm just
claustrophobic. I just didn't want to be. I'd rather, you know, I was watching every race on a monitor.
Mm.
I couldn't see the track from where I was. So
we went to Ivy. We did comedy at the Save Our Sons charity Melbourne Cup. So
fantastic.
We're all ambassadors of that. And it was actually really good. As a Lebanese guy, I finally got into Ivy. They've been knocking us back for years. Finally got in, and I had to go through the shifty way by saying, I'm doing comedy here, mate. Let me in.
I took photos of the toilet and everything.
They asked,
it was amazing.
They asked, you know, when they said, show us your ID and tell me a joke, I don't believe you're going in here to do comedy.
Yeah.
Is that the most, just quickly to go away from sport for a moment, is that the most annoying part about your job is if you meet people and they say, what are you doing? Say, we're comedians. They ask you to tell us a joke.
Worst. Or the other way around is you're at a function and you've just got off stage and come here, mate, I've got a joke for you. And they tell you one of those jokes that go for 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
You laugh at the wrong time because you think it's finished. You know, they go, oh, you're a comedian, tell me a joke. Oh. I wish every person would demonstrate their job, you know?
Well, you sit there at dinner and there's a dentist next to you. Give me a look.
Dentists, don't tell me about dentists, MG.
One of my best mates is one. And
what?
I used to hate dentists. And one of my best mates, Joe Perry, is a dentist. Him and his wife own a practice in Penrith.
Can I ask something? Why can't we get a quote from a dentist? Like, why can't we go into a dentist and go, can I get a quote? Because it's a shock.
Oh, there's all the toothbrush ads.
You just go in there and you get slapped with it. I mean, the guy down the road might do it cheaper.
So here's my mistake.
What did you ring?
When you said quote, I thought you were talking about you know how all the toothbrushes ads, they always used to face the mirror. We can't show
his. Hi, this is Rob.
But you're talking about a quote as in how much it's going to cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry,
I'm on the same page.
Not a saying. Not a saying. Sorry. It's like mechanics. Ty feels the same way about mechanics.
Don't get me. But like dentists, they always go, oh, your gums are bleeding. Well, stop sticking that sharp metal thing in there.
Have you ever tried asking for a quote? Have you ever tried asking for a quote?
No, because my mate does it for me. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
Shifties.
You got all these dodgy.
Not shifties. Dodgy. They're not dodgy. It's just...
We got, like, when people see us, like, you know, with the birdcage, for example, I don't think we'd be allowed in, but Rob and I, we either get in, they know us, because you, the security guys, know us.
Yep.
Or they go, no way, these guys are trouble. Remember that thing time we went, Richard Wilkins.
Oh, yeah, long time ago. It was a long time ago.
Dickie Wilkins, eh?
I don't know how many times we met him, but every time Rob and I, it's like we're meeting him for the first time. It's one of those
It was
guys.
An after party for the Arias. This is years ago. Yeah. We were still on Doing Fat Pizza. And anyway, I think we're with George Kapanyaris, who was on Acropolis Now. So there's three ethnics at the door.
We were in outfits.
Yeah, George was invited, and George goes, come with us, I'll get you in anyway. And he's come out, Richard Wilkins, and it's a big discussion. It was like a big code red. All these people are discussing, should they let us? Anyway, he's come and goes, listen, guys, I know who you are, but please, no trouble.
You should have said the same
to him. I go, what?
Racial thinking... profiling. Go, yeah, okay. We're invited, mate. You know we're invited.
You should have said the same thing to him. We know who you are, but hey, Richard, no trouble, mate, okay?
Yeah. I've met the guy so many times, but every time he sees me, it's like he doesn't know me. I've got to reintroduce myself every time.
Just another quick story on him. Right? One time, Rob and I, we're doing Here Come the Habibs. We're in the Channel 9 car park, right? This is a Christmas time. We'll never forget
this is my point.
And we're in the car, but we're just having a chit-chat. Like, you know, things are going good. And they're setting up the white tent for their Christmas party, Channel 9 Christmas party. He comes out, he's going to his car. He looks at us, right?
I say hello because 2 weeks earlier, I was in Brisbane with him doing the telethon.
Yeah, he goes, g'day, Richard. And he goes, good job, boys. And he said it in a manner like, we put up the tents.
I swear to God.
I was at the telethon with him hung out with him and I said, hey, Rich, how you going, mate? He goes, doing a good job, guys.
You're doing a good job. That's it. He goes, oh my God, he thinks we just put up the tent.
That's my point. You've got to reintroduce yourself every time.
I mean, you had put up the tent, but he was not to know that.
That's besides the point. Like, that's a birdcage note. We can't get in.
There's no way we're getting in.
Have we ever been at a lower point in our cricket at the moment?
The cricket is a mess. Poor batting techniques. Beautiful bowling by South Africa. I'm looking forward to this season. I'll tell you why. Because I watched the first game, and South Africa got a bowler, spin bowler named Imran Tahir.
Yes.
Mm.
And this is freaking me out. Got Tahir coming to bowl from the southern end. I'm loving it. This is what I'm saying.
This is like the play from South Africa.
I know. And everyone's going, are you South African? No.
MG, three plays that are out. Does it make such a difference on the performance of the team?
But no, it makes it. When you've got two of the best batsmen in the world, it does.
Okay, but fair enough.
But I don't think so. And it's more of a, I think.
Is it mental? Is it?
It's a pandemic of emotion that's been brewing for probably 4 or 5 years that it's exploded.
Is this my point from the other week where I said Australian sports, we're getting too soft on young players where they expect so much but not delivering? Is that what's happening in the sports? Australia's starting to level out across the board.
We spoke to Peter Lawler through the week from The Australian. He said that basically these days 14-year-olds are identified, then they're put in this bubble, and then they're given a game here, they're given a game there, but there's no consistency about it.
Mm.
So there's no – cricket is in a bit of a wobbly state at the moment. I think it'll get itself out because it's such a great game. But at the moment, with all these heads rolling after the independent commission.
It's amazing, isn't it? How did that thing was going to work? Get an Australian Rugby Union 5'8", Pat Howard, and put him in charge of cricket. Like, where did this thing come from? Who's next? Warwick Kappa? I mean, what is
Well, who's running the rugby?
Who's running soccer?
David Gallop.
This
would be a great cricketer, I think. Yeah. It's
the thing, just sport across the board, it's such big business now. And as MG pointed out, that talent is identified at such a young age, right? And I don't know about you guys, if you have a bunch of people from a young age telling somebody how special they are, how talented they are, how it is all about them, they're going to grow up to be a dickhead.
That's
across all walks of life.
Well, we're seeing it throughout Australian sports, through tennis at the moment, the young people coming through. Not all of them, but
if they become the centre of a whole bunch of grown-ups' universe at a very young age, by the time they hit 20, 21, it shouldn't be surprising that they've got an ego that no one can manage. So
we're not teaching kids to win. Everyone's got to play fair. This is the problem. It's starting from a young age.
Do you remember how hard it was to get into the Australian cricket team?
Oh,
it was very hard.
We were talking about this the other day. Stuart Law for Queensland used to make century after century after century. And I reckon he played about four tests for Australia.
He made a half century before he got dropped.
Mike Hussey was
32 or something before he got his first cap.
It's the cricket.
And now we're just giving out the green caps like it's nothing.
Yeah.
There's popcorn.
We are. How
about that? Speaking of cricket, how about that over that those guys got the other day?
Oh, wow.
Was it like 46 points?
We had it on the
run, sorry?
We had it on our
43 runs, I think. 43,
there's a couple of no balls.
I think that cricketer, we said on the show yesterday that the cricketer owes cricket an apology.
The bowler, man, he's gone.
But tell you what, that new guy, Jason Sanger, a friend of mine, Jason Sanger.
Heard his nickname?
What is it?
Sausage.
Why?
Sausage Sanger.
Sorry, come on.
The Bunnings all over right there. Just call him Bunnings.
A friend of mine knew him. He's from up the Newcastle.
Yeah, he is.
Up that way. Sort of. And they've been sort of keeping an eye on him from 13, 14. Mm. So he told me, he goes, you've got to look out for this guy. He's a great kid. The father's really nice. So I've sort of been looking at, checking his scores out, all those junior things. And it's coming all the way through. Greg Chappell said
that's great, though, if they keep an eye on him. But just let him come through his natural cricket pathways. Let him play with his mates up until a certain point, and now he's 19, playing Sheffield Shield.
Yep.
Don't toast him too early.
Would you agree? If you're going to pick him, give him a go.
Yeah.
People get scared. We're going to make a mistake. I'm going to nick one. Give him a couple of.
To that point, and I know we're getting a little bit serious here. We're meant to be having fun around this, but to that point, he has made a century, right? Fantastic, outstanding. He's made one century in the Sheffield Shield. Okay, fantastic.
Pick him.
Do not pick him.
What do you mean? He's made a century. Pick him.
Let him be New South Wales' highest scorer for the Sheffield Shield season. Then pick him.
Well, they can do it 2 years in a row. Yeah.
One century does not make a test cricketer.
True. Right. True. It's time for that.
And I know that, having played zero tests for my country, I know how many tests, how many centuries you need to score.
I should go for the chairman job. I played Roselands Cricket Club. Many years.
The War Brothers are from your area.
A lot of runs I scored.
The Bankstown boys, aren't they?
Scored only one century.
You're talking about looking for a job. What about Jarryd Hayne? Doesn't have a job anymore. Officially unemployed, Jarryd Hayne.
I think this is part of this week. Tahir last week was fully sick on something. I think Rob's going to take the bat in this week.
He wants to have a go about a position Jarryd Hayne might have played once. Okay. But before we get to the fully sick.
This is just a discussion.
Go for it.
What happened? Is he asking for too much money, or is he?
I don't think Parramatta got the money.
Is he causing issues in the Parramatta club?
No, I don't think so.
Year before they made top eight. This year, same team.
No, I don't think. I don't think it's him. I don't think it's him individually. I think it's a collective thing of Parramatta. I don't think. Well, he won't be there. But there's rumour that either the Bulldogs or the Dragons will pick him up.
Or the Central Coast Mariners.
He's going to have a go at something else.
They've got at least 100K, we know.
Well,
that's
there you go.
Unaccounted for.
Wow.
150.
150.
Okay. Although he's probably being offered more than that from Parramatta.
He'd be on half a mil.
I'd love to turn back time and wish that he stayed at NFL.
In the NFL.
Yeah, I just think it was such a great. Australia was right behind him. I was loving it. I've only got the NFL game. That's how much I loved it on my PlayStation. Behind him. We all supported him.
He's coming out with a new game.
What's that?
Centrelink. It's just Jared Haynes trying to get through the Centrelink line as fast as possible.
EA Sports.
Who's EA Sports Centrelink? Who's that kicker at the moment for the Seattle Seahawks who's kicking ass?
Michael Dickinson. Michael Dixon.
Dixon.
Former Sydney Swans.
The money they get for kicking. You just kick.
Yeah, well, this is... MG and I have spoken a lot about this bloke on the show because he's a former Sydney Swans Academy player, never got drafted, could always kick a ball. And the punter is kind of like the...
Bottom feeder.
Yeah, it's the bottom feeder of American football, of NFL. But he is being... He's revolutionising it. He is turning the game on its head. He's running the ball. He's doing drop kicks. He's changing the way punters are perceived.
That reminds me, Liam, when Darren Bennett first went over there, right?
Yeah.
And then they said, wow, look at this Aussie guy. He's come out from AFL. And he just started tackling people. And they've never seen anything like it before. You go, what? The punter's tackling? Yes, he's tackling. That's what he does.
And then Jared did the same with the steps and, you know, the fens. And they hadn't seen that much.
I'm with you, mate. It would have been great to see him persevere.
Fiji let him down.
Everyone loved him.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Question. How good could he have been? Like, we think about... Because he left for the NFL, in 2015, maybe? 2015, 2016?
The years are going that quick, I don't know.
Yeah.
He's won two Dally M's. Mm. He had just won a Dally M when he left. Had he not gone, and we all applaud him and supported him for following his dream, had he not gone, where could he have ended up from an NRL perspective, rugby league?
I don't think he would have excelled like a Jonathan Thurston. Not because of him. I just think Parramatta were just weren't giving him that go forward. Like, you can be the best player, but if you have your team's not going forward, that's why I'm worried about Blake Ferguson. He's gone from a great side, making him look even amazing.
Mm.
He might be going back. Hopefully Parramatta has a great year, but...
What was hard for Jared Haynes was his body shape change for the NFL. And then when he came back...
He had to change again.
Yeah, so like for me, like I'm trying to change my body shape. It's taken 5-6 years at least. And we're even getting there. Like, it's hard. It's tough.
Yeah.
I support Jared Haynes, mate. Keep at it.
Go on, yeah. Okay.
Positive. Yeah, we're all about positive body image here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Fully sick time.
It is fully sick time, and I'm not happy. It's not a happy fully sick. It's a
angry
fully
sick.
This is something I've been talking about for years, and people who follow me on Twitter have seen my screenshots of NRL games. This is more directed not at the NRL wingers because they're told to do this. It's directed at the coaches who are on massive money. Massive money. They've got defensive coach. Why are so many tries in NRL scored by wingers not being touched by defensive wingers? You understand what I'm trying to say?
On the sideline. Mm-hmm. Oh,
So many times you'll see a cutout ball, you'll see a ball hit the winger, and the defensive winger's about 30 metres in, and he's got to sprint and try to get to that attacking winger, and he doesn't touch him, and he scores untouched. Now, I can stop 90% of tries if you coaches out there listen to me right now.
From the grandstand.
Yeah. Why doesn't the defensive winger just stay on the sideline? Because what's going to happen? That attacking winger gets the ball. He is forced to step in. So the rest of the players that are coming across
up and slide
can tackle him. Mm. Stay on the wing.
What if the center scores?
Doesn't matter. That's not his job. He's there to worry about his winger.
Next week you'll rant about the centers.
Trust me, there's 12 other players coming across.
So you're just sick of winger scoring tries
soft.
Untouched.
Soft.
Well, it happened in Origin a couple of times. Val Holmes.
Soft.
Dumb MG, wingers. You're our expert. Why is this happening?
Well, they're getting overcoached. You know, some rugby league teams go up and slide. Some, you know, shuffle. Some stay. Some
try to go for the intercept. Some create a gap.
Yeah, it's.
But I'm telling you, if you stayed on the wing, you would actually force that guy to step in every time, or he'll try to run over you.
Well, they're told basically the 5'8" starts, the back rower starts the defensive line, then the 5'8" goes with him, the center goes with him, then the wing is supposed to stick to their center. So they're supposed to go as a collective. But obviously their communication breaks down. And
I'd love the stats. There's too many tries scored untouched.
So many times you see this, like they've got the ball, the center's got the ball, the other center's sort of marking, and the winger doesn't trust the singer, and he comes in, and you've got two people on the one center, which frees up the winger.
That's my point.
Good point, Rob.
That's my point. Thank you.
That's the bugbear.
Yeah.
The winger's got to say, mate, he's yours.
It's like roulette.
Mine's here. There's yours.
It's like gambling, red or black. He's got to choose red or black. he shouldn't be put in that position to gamble left or right.
Well, can I suggest a conspiracy theory?
Yep.
Uh-oh.
If you take away that try line try for the wingers, if you take away that try line option, you take away those dramatic jumping over the goal, jumping over the corner post tries, right?
Yeah.
If you take those away, how does the NRL cut their promos together?
You call back Tina Turner.
What are we watching on the TV ads if we aren't seeing Josh Adokar reach around the corner post as his body's half out of bounds?
Jordan Rapana.
What are we promoing? I think there's an instruction from the top.
Listen, I did have in my note. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Center sliding in for tries.
There's an edict.
Yeah. What about?
It's an edict, but that's okay. That's all right. I knew what you meant.
There's been some great songs in the past. I had this in my notes.
Come on,
it's
Mount Drill Boy.
Mr. Motion comes sliding in. Remember Ray Price, the VB ad? Tina Turner. We don't get those songs anymore.
No. But we should.
What you get is what you see. That was a. I love
Sinclair
that song.
Sinclair the best. And what about the famous one of Tom Keneally?
And what about
Blow That Whistle, Ref?
I love that whistle.
What about you didn't love that, did you?
What about when they used to walk out to John Williams' Olympic Spirit?
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Fire up, Rob.
I'm pumped up. Come on.
Rob Shahidi. Excuse me. I'm fully sick, actually, getting a little bit ill. Rob Shahidi and Tahir. Gentlemen, we always love your takes on sport. Can I suggest that for next week, have a think about this solution? Because, MG, one of your big bugbears with rugby league is that they warm up out on the ground.
Yes.
Ooh.
I like this.
This is a big point.
I would love to get you two to fix pre-game NRL for us.
Easy.
Before kickoff.
Well, we did it for years.
Yep. Perfect.
It's just you two every game.
No, we hosted.
We work for the Bulldogs. We work for Parramatta Eels.
And when they're warming up.
State of Origin. All the finals.
Do you want to talk about it next week?
Yeah, next week. That's a good tease.
Save it. It's a good tease.
That's a tease for next week.
Okay.
So next week you're going to fix
it. The way to fix it up is this. Tune in next week.